Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining me once again today as we're in our second edition on the subject of right division, or rightly dividing the word of truth, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Now, last time we gave you some examples of right division in the case of Timothy, and we even showed you how our Lord himself practiced the principle of rightly dividing the word of truth and in that quotation of Isaiah 61. Now today I want to talk to you about the gospel itself. And I think we would, most of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, would agree that the foundation of everything that we hold dear is the good news itself. Now, the Bible has a lot of gospels, there's a lot of good news in the Bible. But when I refer to the gospel, I'm referring to the initial message that goes out to the world of sinners, the world of unbelievers and heathen, as we might call them. It's the message that was brought to us many years ago. Most of us here come from heathen backgrounds. All of us do, actually, except for the Jewish race. We all come from some kind of idolatrous background. Whether we're African or Asian or European, we all have idolatry in our background. And God, through Paul and his associates, came to different lands with the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what I mean about the gospel itself. First of all, I want to talk to you about right division in the gospel. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute a man who comes to a gospel meeting and his heart is stirred. Imagine there's a meeting of believers, and there's a meeting where a man is proclaiming the gospel. And this man, who is an unbeliever, his heart is stirred about it. And he hears from this preacher of the gospel about everlasting life and wants to find out more. So he goes to the speaker, and the speaker tells the man to go home and read the Gospel of Matthew. Okay? So this man hears this unbeliever hears this preacher talking about the gospel and the need of everlasting life, and when the unbeliever goes up to this gospel preacher, the preacher tells him, go and read Matthew. Now, Matthew is a wonderful book. I love the Gospel of Matthew. It's tremendous, it's wonderful, and it has many wonderful things in it. It is the Word of God. As we pointed out last time, right division recognizes that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that includes the Gospel of Matthew. Now, this Gospel of Matthew, it gives us the accounts of our life, of the life and the miracles, the teaching, and the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. So this man, this unbeliever, after taking the advice from this preacher, this gospel preacher, he goes home and he reads the book of Matthew. So remember, this man wants to have eternal life. He knows he needs it. So he goes to Matthew, and he starts in Matthew 1, and finally he reads through Matthew, and it's not until the 19th chapter, and in the 16th verse, he reads about everlasting life. And so he gets there, and he says, ah, I finally found it. Here it is. This is what I need. And so he comes to chapter 19 of Matthew, and in verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, isn't that wonderful? This is the exact question this man is asking. What must I do that I may have eternal life? Now, let us see. Now, remember, this man is stirred, and the question he's asking, this man is asking the Lord the same question he's asking. What do I need to do to have eternal life? Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I want you to imagine the shock of this man. He finds out he needs eternal life, and he reads Matthew 19:16, and he's told he's got to keep the commandments to have everlasting life. How do you think this man would feel after reading that? All right, let's pretend like we're this man, and let's read on. We're going to keep reading on in Matthew. And he finds the phrase everlasting again in verse 29, Matthew 19:29. And it reads this way, And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, not only does he have to keep the commandments, but according to verse 29, he has to forsake all to inherit, it says here, everlasting life. So, that's pretty discouraging thus far. Now let's jump down to Matthew 25. He's going to keep reading on, and he's going to see it again in chapter 25, starting at verse 31 to 46. And we won't read the whole passage now, but notice what it says, that let's read verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then down in verse 40, he says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. And then it says this in verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, here's what we learn in Matthew. In Matthew 19, 16, 19, 29, and 25, verse 46. All the references to eternal life in Matthew equal this. In order to get eternal life in Matthew, you must keep the commandments. Number two, you must forsake mother, father, and all. And number three, you must feed the sick, clothe the naked, and visit those in prison. And by the way, Matthew 25 is one of the most misapplied, misquoted passages in all of Scripture. So this man was told by this gospel preacher, in order to get everlasting life, if he reads Matthew, he's got to keep the commandments, forsake everything, and feed, clothe, and visit. Friends, I trust that nobody listening to the sound of my voice would ever tell a sinner that in order to have everlasting life, he must keep all the commandments and forsake all and feed the sick and clothe the naked and visit those in prison. I hope that no one would say that. Well, now let's move on. Let's suppose that this same man, the same person who knows he has a sense of need of eternal life, suppose he approaches another man who believes in the principle of right division, like we're teaching here. Now, you may think that right division has nothing to do with the gospel, but it is very important, as this illustration is going to prove. The believer who believes in right division is going to say to that same man, the seeker, you are in the wrong book, friend. Well, the seeker might respond by saying, well, isn't this the word of God? Sure it is, the believer will say. But look what Matthew 10 says. In Matthew 10, we read, Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now, this gospel preacher who believes in right division will ask this man again, the seeker, Are you a Gentile? Well, the seeker will say, Well, sure I am. Well, it says, Go not into the way of the Gentiles. And in chapter 15, it says that the Lord was not sent unto the Gentiles. In Matthew 10, he says, Go not into the way of the Gentiles. In Matthew 15, he says that he was not sent except unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, however, there is a book, this gospel preacher who believes in right division, will say there is a book called The Gospel of John that reads that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the seeker has found it. He is found in the Gospel of John. how to get everlasting life. He is now a believer and realizes the great importance of right division. So you see, right division is very important. The Gospel of Matthew is the Word of God, but it is not written to Gentiles. It's meant for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. However, the Gospel of John is the book that God gave with a view of bringing somebody to everlasting life. In John chapter 20, we read this about the Gospel of John. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There is no mention of repentance in John, no mention of keeping the commandments or forsaking all, or feeding the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and so on and so forth. There are no works at all. As a matter of fact, you'll find about 100 times eternal life is dependent only upon believing in the Gospel of John. It's the only book in all of Scripture that's written with the intent to bring everlasting life to its hearers. It's the only book that is intended for a worldwide audience of unbelievers to show them who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God. Friends, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this one who hung on Calvary's cross, who died on that cross, is the Lamb of God? Do you believe that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world? Well, this is why John was written, to bring life, everlasting life. If you were to tell somebody that in order to have everlasting life, they had to keep the commandments, that would never bring joy or hope. But if you told them it's through believing, you'll have a convert, friends, because this is God's method, and right division is so important even in the preaching of the gospel. And we hope you come back to us next time as we continue this subject.